Good morning, Brother Marlon here. Rejoicing in the goodness of the Lord. This has been a good couple of days for me. In doing these things, I tend to get inspired myself. I tend to speak to myself in many ways. Many days, it's actually an inspiration or a lesson or something I really needed that God has given me. And through sharing it with you here in this ministry, why it inspires my own heart, and I feel like God has done a work in my life this week. One question that has come to my mind many times in the past, because we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. We live by the New Testament times. So what does the Old Testament have to do with now? We live in the New Testament age. How much does the Old Testament have to do with us? And I always looked at it this way. The promises of God are for the child of God. How do I know that it's for the child of God? There's a lot of good things in the Old Testament. Many good illustrations. You look at David, a man after God's own heart. God himself said, "This is a man after my heart." But he failed. He committed adultery. And you see the devastation and the consequences that he had to pay because of making that mistake. That's what I like about the Old Testament. It brings out what happens if you make a mistake. Yes, God forgave David, and he can still, he's still in heaven. But the consequences that David had to suffer because he failed, it's right there in the Old Testament. It's a walking testament of what will happen if you fail in this life. As I heard it once said, we can't afford to make mistakes because God visits the iniquities of the fathers upon children's children, yet up into the third or fourth generation. So if you're into the sin of witchcraft, you can expect, unless that has been repented of or renounced, you can expect three or four generations to be still being affected by your witchcraft. From God's own word. It happened to David when he committed adultery. It messed up his family. Anyway, that's not what I'm after, but it is, that's not my teaching there, but it is something to ponder and to think about and to keep in mind that God visits iniquity upon the third or fourth, up to the third or fourth generation. Back to what we're living in New Testament time. What does the Old Testament have to do? And okay, so you're saying I can accept the promises. Most of the Old Testament, a lot of the Old Testament is just illustrations of what happens when God's people turn against God or turn away from God or make a mistake. Or they have the story of Joseph, you know, the consecrated young man who is dedicated to God. It brings out live, real illustrations of what happens when a person makes good or bad decisions. It's a good guideline to follow. But how do you know that you can carry the promises of God that God gave to the children of Israel, that the God spoke out? How do you know that we can have those? It was a question mark in my mind for a while. How do I know that I can accept, that I can take the promises of God in the Old Testament to His people? How can I claim this? What gives me the right to claim this? If we're living in the New Testament times, was that not an Old Testament promise? Here's the key verse that I want to use to tie all that together to prove to you that the promises in the Old Testament are as alive today as they were back then, if you are a child of God. If you're not born again, they're not alive to you. They might be a little alive, but the full degree, they're not alive. if you're a child of God, if you see a promise in the Word of God, you can pretty much in the Old Testament, you can pretty much depend on it. It's for you. Here is the verse. It's in Romans 2, verse 29. Paul is writing here about the Jew and the law. The law was given to the Jews, so the Jews were listening to the law. Are they important? Are they both important? Or why are they important? If they're not important, then why are they not important? A lot of questions there. In verse 29, he says, but, okay, let's step back to 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. He's saying he's not a Jew. He's bringing up the fact that the Jews are God's people. But he's taking it beyond that. He's saying you're not just a Jew because you were circumcised. That doesn't make you a Jew. In the Old Testament, yes, that made you a Jew. Before Jesus came, that made you a Jew. But now that doesn't make you a Jew anymore. Okay, so Paul, what are you trying to say? Are we all Jews? Verse 29, but he is a Jew. And the reason why this is important, the Old Testament promises were to the Jews and the Gentiles that believed God. But primarily they were for Jews. For the Jews. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And we all know that inwardly means in ourselves. And we all know, well, we know that when you get born again, you change inwardly. Your heart changes, and out of your heart change, your outward working changes. You become more like Christ. You follow the fruits of the Spirit, not the fruits of the flesh. But he is a Jew, in other words, he can be blessed by the promises of God if you become a child of God. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart. No longer just a circumcision as we know circumcision in the flesh. It is that you're now a Jew if you become one inwardly, circumcised of the heart. A broken and contrite heart. God hears somebody who has a broken and contrite heart. In the spirit, circumcision is out of the heart, in the spirit, and not of the letter. And that word letter here means of the law. Not just one who follows the law because God said so. Because in the New Testament, that all changed. Whose praise is not of men, but of God. Very important. Whose praise is of God. It's the one who God looks upon and says, this is my child. Not one who men look upon and say, ah, there's a man of God. That happens, but when that begins to lift up your pride, say, oh, I have become something, then you're accepting the praise of men. But it's for those who have humbled themselves to such a degree that God looks upon them as he looked upon Moses and upon David and said, this is a man after my own heart. This is somebody who loves me. I will praise. I will lift up his name. And so the whole point here is, how can I accept as a New Testament believer the Old Testament promises? And right here is the key. I'm going to read it all in one context. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So I can accept the promises of the Old Testament as a New Testament believer because we now become a spiritual Jew by becoming born again. We become a child of God, and we can accept the Old Testament promises and the New Testament promises for that matter. And what I mean by the Old Testament promises, sometimes you come across things written in the Old Testament and you're just like, wow, God, you really said that? Wow, that's amazing. boy, I wish I could have that. And you're like, wait a minute, I am a child of God. I can have that. For instance, it's one I, it's in, this is one of the those, one of these blessings, nuggets that you find in the Old Testament in Joshua. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's a promise as a child of God that you can keep in your heart. And there's times that you start to falter, you start becoming afraid, you start struggling, saying, what's going on here? You simply come back and say, God, you told me to be strong and be of good courage, not because I have the strength, but because of you. You promised to go with me whithersoever I go. Well, praise the Lord. It's an exciting thought. We do serve an incredibly awesome God. He does abide by His promises. He does love us. He cares for us. Whether you're a sinner or a saint, He loves you. But if you're a sinner, you need to come to God on His terms and not your terms. If you're a saint, you can claim the promises of the Word of God just for yourself and for your family. Well, praise the Lord. I enjoyed this week. God bless you. And may He keep you strong and secure and of stable mind for the next weeks to come. God bless you.